we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in today. This is the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God on Grove Street, and we're just privileged to be able to bring the Word of God to wherever you are today. Isn't it great that your voice can go places that your body cannot go? One of the things that I get to do is teach in a Bible school in Fiji on occasion, and my face has been to Fiji, my voice has been to Fiji, the word that I preach has been to Fiji, and I've never been to Fiji. Thank God for the impact that technology has enabled for us to utilize so that we can take the gospel literally to the ends of the earth. Through the internet, this program is available around the globe. Anywhere there's an internet connection, they could download this program, listen to it anytime, day or night. So thank you to Jits Concrete, the Anderson family, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any help with concrete or block or stucco work, give them a call and they can help get you fixed up and looking good. 536-5804 and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. So we're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 13 for today's broadcast. Do want to take just a moment to invite you to our vintage service that we will be meeting this morning at 11 o'clock. If you are listening on WWBC 1510 AM, that broadcast is at 10:30, and you can listen to me on the radio, come in, and we'll start all over again. But we'd like to invite you out to that. By the way, I did, I believe, make an erroneous date announcement the other day when I was announcing that we were having the Stevens Family Singers. For some reason, I got my Wednesday date and my Sunday dates combined and the information all mixed together and gave you improper information. I believe that I said it was February the 7th that they would be with us. That date is wrong. It is Wednesday, February the 3rd. Wednesday, February the 3rd. So just in a couple of weeks, they are going to be with us in our 11 a.m. service. And we'd like for you to come and be a part of that on the most recent charts for Southern Gospel Music. They had three out of the top 100. That's three more than I currently have. Of course, I've never sang a song, recorded a song, or had anything that was submitted to be on the top 100. And everybody said, thank the Lord. They're very, very talented people. They minister with the anointing of God, very sensitive to the needs of people, have a powerful testimony. And so we'd like to invite you out to that vintage service here in a couple of weeks. If you don't want to wait till then, you can come and visit us today at 11 a.m. We had a testimony on Sunday night this week of a lady who testified, you know, what God had done in her heart as a result of that vintage service. So we're not just meeting together, holding hands and singing Kumbaya. We are there to do kingdom business. And so I thank God for what he is accomplishing in people's lives. So to Hebrews chapter 13 today, we are looking at our concept of things to remember. We've just recently gone through verse 7, but let me begin reading there today. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their life. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. And so, just a little bit of refresh from yesterday's broadcast. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, and then it says, considering the outcome of their life. Considering the outcome of their life. So let's start there today, because a lot of people look for what they can gain in the short term, what they can avail themselves, what is the short-term reward for this decision. But we need to have a much different perspective than just what is to be gained. You know, Moses rejected the pleasures of sin, which were only for a season, and he chose the things of God instead. And as a result of that, he has a legacy that has continued for thousands of years. I'm sure that there were other kids, you know, that received similar training, other people who walked similar paths but chose differently than Moses did. We still talk about Moses, and those other people have been relegated to the to just a footnote in the historical archive. You and I, we need to make sure that we choose wisely. What is the outcome of their life? What does the Word of God, when we believe the Word of God, what is the end result of that going to be? When we choose to live by faith, what is the outcome of that going to be? And the reason that the writer of Hebrews says this is in verse number 8, he says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, whenever we look at those people's lives, we're going to see that God has not, does not, and will not change. He is the same. And so we need to consider living our life by the word of God, living our life by faith, because the end result, the reward that others received for doing that, is a reward that will await us as well. There's a scripture in Proverbs. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we need to make sure that we look and see what the ultimate destination and what the culmination, the end process is. You know, that was where Satan was successful in dealing with Eve, was he got her off, or got her to disbelieve the end that God said would await anybody who ate the tree of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so he said, oh, that's not going to happen. You will not die. And I want you to know that deceiving spirit that causes us to rationalize into compromising the word of God and compromising faith and compromise what God has told us to do, that the devil never tells you what the full price tag looks like. One of the distinguishing characteristics of when God is speaking and when the devil is speaking is this. When God is speaking, he tells you what he plans to do, and there's nothing that you can do to stop it. I mean, when God says, I am going to send my son, he is going to be the savior of the world, there wasn't anything that Satan could have done that would have stopped Jesus from providing salvation that is available for the entire world. Now, the devil, on the other hand, he does not tell you. He will try and get you to compromise. He will only give you portions of the truth and wrap it with deception, or have a core of deception and wrap it with just enough truth to lead you to think that you are getting one thing. And then after you have been ensnared in the process, then he discloses what the end result is. God tells you with full disclosure, this is the end of the righteous. This is the end result for the wicked, and you can choose life or you can choose death, therefore choose life. There is a way that seems right. You know, the world is all about feelings and what appears to be right, and you know, what is right in that moment for the need that they are trying to satisfy, and they don't give any consideration to the concept, is it actually the right thing to do? Is it something that God would have me to do? This last weekend, my wife and I were up in Jacksonville. We were teaching our district school of ministry and teaching the government structure. And as a result of that, I have a story that I get to share where I was dealing with a governmental official at one point in time. They told me what what needed to be done. And then they said, but you can get around this if you will just do this. And I said, so what you are telling me is if I will sacrifice my integrity, I would get to continue to function as we have been functioning. And they said, that's pretty much it. And I said, then I'm not interested. I'm not interested because I don't want, first of all, I don't want to do that to God. The second thing is I did not want to leave that particular governmental official with the concept that Christians and pastors would be willing to sacrifice their integrity just for the ease of dealing with a circumstance that's a little inconvenient. So you and I, we don't need to look for what seems to be right. We need to pursue that which is right. Let's quickly turn to Psalm 73. It's a psalm of Asaph. It says, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongues walk through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them, and they say, how does God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocent. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary. Then I understood therein. You see, the psalmist who is writing here, Asaph, he's talking about that he saw what people who weren't living for God's life was like, and he saw what living for God was like, and he saw, you know, because of his perspective, he was seeing people that were, they had an abundance, they were proud, they were not dealing with issues that other people were having to deal with, and he said they were actually prospering while all of the while they were boasting. And it just goes on and on. And when you begin to talk and when you begin to look and see, oh, well, look at this person. Their life is going just fine. They've got all that their needs are met. They're healthy. They're doing well financially. But I tell you, you need not look at what things are now. You need to look and see what the end was, because that was the turning point for Asaph. He says, it was too painful for me to think about the gross difference between how the righteous were living and how the unrighteous were living. And it says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. He said, surely you, God, set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And so he... God, when he entered into the sanctuary, when Asaph went into the sanctuary, he saw not as things currently are, but he saw that they were actually on the broad path of destruction, and he was on the pathway of life and light and illumination. So God, he said, God, I was ignorant. I didn't know what I was talking about. I was like a beast before you. And he goes on and he says, afterward, you are going to receive me to glory. Verse number 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. You see, Jesus came to save every man, woman, and child from that pathway of destruction. He wants to take you off of that path, and he wants to put you on the right path. As we were traveling to Jacksonville, my wife and I saw road construction signs, and they would begin to talk about, you know, on such and such a date, this portion of the roadway is going to be closed, and you're going to have to get off of this. You're going to have to reroute. And so whenever we were coming upon one of those, I wanted to make sure that we weren't about to be rerouted. And I said, you know, if I have to come up this road during that time, I want to make sure that I don't get redirected. So I would want to go through there at a time when the roads weren't closed and stuff like that. Today, God could redirect you. Today could be the day that if you say, you know what? He's not pleased. I'm doing life on my own terms, by my own standards. I'm measuring myself by myself, and I realize that I am not living with the power of God and the sufficiency of God. I'm just doing life on my own, and I want to change that. Today could be the day where you say, you know what? I can change. You see, it wasn't for Asaph, it wasn't that he was going to be saved and they were going to perish. What the ultimate goal was is for them to realize that their great need for God, that they need Jesus, that they needed a relationship with the Almighty God, that God could do more for them than money could, that God could provide health for them in a way. He said suddenly their destruction would come upon them. It would be as in a moment. You see, the whole world can change in an instant, just like the snap of a finger. Your whole world can change. And it might not even be your fault. I mean, you could be going along, and suddenly, you know, a car come out of no place, and your life is altered forever. Today, God wants to set you. He wants to take anybody who's listening today. He wants to take you, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers. He wants to take us off of the path of destruction, and he wants to put us on the path of life. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he says, as a result of this, with this thing in mind, remembering this, he says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good for that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. And so the enemy, if he cannot get us to abandon the truth, he will try and get us distracted with frivolous teachings, with things that are really not the central aspect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I am so thankful for the Word of God. You know, Paul wrote and said, man, if anybody brings another gospel other than the one that we have preached to you, let them be accursed. I want to stick to the Word of God. You can call me a Bible conservative, and I will wear that badge completely and thoroughly. I am so thankful for the Word of God. I want to hide His Word in my heart, and we're going to be putting a major emphasis in 2016 on the Word of God in our church. We're going to be proclaiming the impact of the Word, the results of the Word, the benefits of the Word. We're going to be studying the Word of God, and so I pray that if you don't have a church home, that you will come, because we're not going to get sidetracked on this, and we're not going to get sidetracked on that. We're going to stay, because our responsibility here is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got our congregation, and we are praying and believing and declaring that God is going to use each of us to win a person to Jesus Christ in 2016. You see, I thank God when our congregation grows, but what I'm really looking for is not just congregational growth, but I'm looking for kingdom growth. See, God told me a long time ago, he said, if you will focus on building my kingdom, I will focus on building your church. And so that's what we are here to do with this radio program. These programs air throughout the county and all the way down to towards the Palm Beach region, I believe. And so if you're not in the Merritt Island area, if you're not in the Central Brevard area, and you're listening to this, you give your heart to the Lord, we want to encourage you, find a church in your locale, in your region, in your area, where you can serve the Lord. That's what we want to proclaim to you. We want you to we want you to grow in your relationship with God. And that growth is going to take place in a Bible preaching church where you can be involved, engaged, and serve for the glory of God. So we don't want to be carried around by a bunch of strange doctrines. And it says, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. You see, listen, I'm really going to put on my serious pastor hat right now. And some people may not like this, and that's okay. I would rather tell you the truth and you not like it than not to tell you the truth and have God not like the fact that I compromised. You need to be in a local church where you are able to grow and thrive and be established. I'll say that again. You need to be in a local church, okay? You need to be in relationship with people. There are a lot of people. It doesn't mean that we can't have fellowship with people from other churches, but you need to be established in one place where God's grace plants you, your roots go down, you get established, because it is in that time when the roots are anchored in firmly in place, it's in that time that you will be able to withstand the storm. When the wind howls like this last Saturday night to Sunday morning, oh my goodness, the wind was just howling. The only reason that everything didn't blow over was because it was anchored securely in place. You need to be established. And so if you have been just going from church to church to church to church to church, I encourage you, find one. You will not find a perfect church. Let me say that again. You will not find a perfect church. You will not find a perfect pastor. You can find great men of God, you can find great women of God, you can find people who love Jesus, but you will not find any perfect ones. You can find people who are mature, but you will not find any perfect ones. And so I want to encourage you, find a place and allow God to establish you. You see, one point in time we had a plant that was out in front of our church, and this goes back a long, long time ago. And the person who planted it, after a while, just a few weeks, they said, you know what, I don't think I planted that in the right place. I need to plant it over here. And so they, after just a few weeks, they transplanted it from where it had been put in place in the first place. It was not grown there. It was transplanted. It was put into that place. A few weeks later, she moved it from that place to another place. A few weeks later, she moved it from that place to a fourth place. So it had been transplanted four times in just a matter of weeks, and it died. and it died. And it was because every time there was a transplanting that took place, there was a shock to the plant's health system, and it could not endure because it never was enabled to be firmly established in that place. And so I am so thankful for the grace of God and the truth of God's word. God's word comes in and it gets established in my heart and in my life. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for people who are in authority over me, who proclaim the word of God over my life. And it says, "For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have occupied, who have been occupied with them." Okay. Now this is, I don't believe, actually talking about, you know, beef and chicken and turkey, you know, not those types of food, but there were people who were trying to sustain themselves spiritually on various and strange doctrines instead of the sound word of God. And listen, I have an opinion about my theology. My theology must line up with the word of God. If it does not line up with the word of God, then my theology has to change, not the word of God. There are a lot of people who try and contort the word of God to make it fit their theology instead of making their theology fit the word of God. So there are a lot of people right now, and the writer of Hebrews says, these people, their lives were not enhanced. It was of no profit to them. It was of no long-term, it was not a long-term asset to their life. It had a short burst, and then it was gone. And so today I pray that you would be nurturing yourself on a sure spiritual diet of the solid word of God. Make sure that, I mean, your body, doctors tell us how important it is for us to eat right in order for our bodies to be right and to feel right and to live right. And so how much more so would that be true for our spirit? We need to feed ourselves on the word of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And so if you have not been making the word of God a part of your spiritual nutrition plan, I pray that you would change that. Why don't you do this? I challenge you. This is how we're going to end this program today. Why don't you make just a small little correction in your life and say, God, you know what? I am going to read a chapter a day, or I'm going to read two chapters a day. I'm going to make that a priority at the beginning of my day. I am going to feast on your word and watch what God does. He will compel you to grow. And God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."